From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Part of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's proposed budget would allow UW-Madison to spin off from the rest of the UW system. The system provides guidance for all of Wisconsin's four-year universities and two-year colleges. It's been nearly 40 years since the Wisconsin legislature established the UW system. In this half hour of Newsmakers, a history lesson from UW-La Crosse Vice Chancellor Emeritus Carl Wimberly and UWL political scientist Joe Heim. I spoke with them recently about why the schools merged in the first place, what some of the benefits of the merger have been, and what dissolving the UW system might mean for higher education in Wisconsin. Carl Wimberly opens the conversation with reflections on life at UW-La Crosse before the system was formed.
Well, prior to 1974, we had all of the former state teachers' colleges belonged to a system separate from the University of Wisconsin system, which included Madison and Green Bay and ultimately Milwaukee and Parkside. And all of the rest of us were in a separate system. I would have to say that during those years, that became the system administration there became a very effective system. It was headed by a man named Eugene McPhee, who was in that position for a long time. And during the 1960s, for example, most of these colleges developed what we frequently refer to as shared governance, which meant that the faculty had a great deal to say about what went on at the campus. The faculty was not organized in the sense of having a union, although on the campuses then, on La Crosse, I think there may have been as many as 7 or 8 different unions. People who worked in the classified service then, the physical plant people, you know, those people belonged to their own union, the Carpenters Union, the Electricians Union. And I think at one time there may have been as many as 8 or 9. I remember one time we had one architect on the campus, and he belonged to the Architects Union, and he was the only member of that union on the campus. So in those years prior to merger, the point I wanted to make was that we had, I think, a very effective shared governance involved where the faculty had something, a great deal to say about what went on the campus, and where the faculty representatives and the administrative representatives regularly talked with each other about problems that existed on the campus.
And Joe Heim, you wrote your dissertation on the UW system merger and the politics that were involved within that. So can you talk about maybe how that system pre-1971 that UW-La Crosse was a part of, maybe how it was viewed within the state?
There were two systems, as Carl said. The second system was UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee, Green Bay and Parkside, and I think several of the two-year campuses as well. Essentially, you had two systems operating independently of each other, both with their separate boards of regents. The one thing I remember they did have at that time was something called a CCHE, Coordinating Committee for Higher Education, which is supposed to coordinate between the two. To be perfectly honest, it didn't work. It was very ineffective, and you essentially had an era when, by the way, for the university system, many people see the 50s and the 60s, especially the 60s, as a golden era of the university system where we did pretty well, basically. But there was a lot of competition between the two systems.
That's what I was wondering, if there was any rivalry between the two.
Yeah, there was rivalry and differences of, you know, transferability between systems. You know, our system teaches better than they do, you know, that kind of stuff. Building arguments, if you get a building, we get a building. And there was kind of a lot of duplication, frankly, and frankly, fighting over money. So a chancellor, I'm not totally sure where this idea came from. There's different arguments about that. But Lee Sherman Dreyfus was a chancellor of Wisconsin State University at Stevens Point at that time, and he apparently was one of the original proposers of this idea. Governor Patrick Lucy is considered the father of the merger, however. He was the governor that proposed it and essentially promoted it. And ultimately, I would say that's why it passed, because the governor wanted it. So the idea was to merge the two systems into one system called the University of Wisconsin system. So that's what we ended up with. It took a few years to do that. It was originally passed as a merger bill in 1971. And I do remember there was a little tidbit that actually relates to what's going on today, and having to do with fiscalizing a bill. I'll use that term. The bill established was done in such a way so that they did not want the governor to be able to line item veto things out of it. And what one of the amendments, by the way, this is a very bipartisan thing. This is, some people were opposed to it, some were in favor. I will tell you that UW-Madison opposed it. They opposed the merger. But essentially the comprehensives and the other universities, for the most part, I think, supported it. When this bill finally got to the floor of the legislature, they apparently did not want the governor to line item things out. So they apparently drew it up in such a way so there was no fiscal content to the bill as it relates to today. And one of the amendments, I remember this to this day, one of the amendments, very innocuous amendment, was to set up a study committee to do something or other. Don't remember what it was. But with this, they had a dollar amount attached to this committee, and this refiscalized the bill. What it did, in other words, is give the governor the ability to line item out certain things and make the merged system pretty much the way he wanted it. The legislation established something called the Merger Implementation Committee that spent several years basically putting together a structure, including the shared governance, protection of shared governance, and essentially the establishing a system that we now have today in terms of how it's governed and the rules. If you talk to the students and some faculty, I guess, you talk about Chapter 36 and Chapter 37. These are statutory things, and essentially statutorily set up the rights of faculty, students, academic staff, and administrators. And there are parts in those statutes that students can rattle off the top of their head. Chapter 36, 0.195 or something like that. And they know it, and it gives them rights. And the wording is very clearly in my mind. It says the blank, like the students have primary responsibilities in the following areas. There's another chapter, another section. The faculty have primary responsibilities in certain areas. So the faculty and everybody got a certain amount of divided power statutorily out of this system. And I might add the reason for that was that the Merger Implementation Committee was made up of students, faculty, academic staff, and administrators, and former regents.
So, Carl, can you talk about what were you doing in 1971, and maybe what were some of the discussions that you had within the university community when this merger finally happened?
For one thing, there were a lot of administrators on the La Crosse campus that were not in favor of merger.
And why was that?
We liked the system that we were in. And we were concerned about being swallowed by Madison. We were concerned about becoming branch campuses of UW-Madison. And that's still an issue, depending on who the chancellor is at Madison. It's not uncommon for them to refer to the other campuses as branches of UW-Madison. We were concerned about that. I don't know that we were greatly impressed by the argument that there was too much competition. You can make an argument that competition's good. It can be bad too, as well, I'm sure. But there were a variety of reasons why a lot of people, including me, weren't all enamored with the idea of becoming one system. As a matter of fact, I've never seen any evidence that we saved over the long run, that we saved any money by having one big system. All I do know is that the number of people working in system administration has greatly increased during the years that we've had merger, and I haven't kept a count. That's just what I see in what must be at least 1,000 visits to Van Hise Hall on the Madison campus to talk with other administrators. Now, I'm not saying that the old system campuses were very much in favor of merger. I think it varied from campus to campus. I don't think everybody thought it was a good idea. Some people did think it was a good idea. I'd have to say, though, just as a final comment on that question, as I reflect on that, that all happened about 40 years ago. I think maybe some good things came out of merger that we hadn't anticipated.
Like what?
Well, for one thing, almost immediately, among most of us, merger brought about rising expectations. That's an often used term that applies to a lot of other fields. I mean, the faculty here was very much aware of the fact that the typical teaching load on the Madison campus might be 6 or 9 credit hours, whereas here it was 15 in the case of many of the faculty. And almost immediately, faculty began to talk about reducing teaching loads. And as a matter of fact, that happened after merger, as we began. One of the things that I think was positive about it is from the time of merger, the student who graduated from La Crosse received a diploma which read University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. That was a great advantage for students in the competition, I think, for jobs. The other thing I think that the faculty had not anticipated, and there's no direct cause and effect relationship here, but in emulating the conditions under which the Madison faculty served, very gradually on these other campuses, the whole question of the importance of research and publication came to be a major issue, which it had not really been prior to that time. Now, that might have happened historically anyway.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Joe Heim, a UW La Crosse political scientist who wrote his dissertation on the UW system merger, and Carl Wimberly, emeritus professor, spent many years working as a political scientist professor, economics. You're also the vice chancellor and the dean of College of Letters and Sciences, and I think there's probably 20 other things we could add to that list, but we'll leave it at that. And Joe, does Carl, his observances of what went on at the time, is that reflected in all the campuses, and maybe how smooth was the transition?
I wasn't on the campus at that time, but I would say it was relatively smooth. There always were concerns about it as to whether it was going to work and whether it was really better. You know, bigger is bigger necessarily better, you know, that kind of a thing. On balance, I think my own feeling is that it's worked fairly well over time. Of course, it's kind of a version of the stimulus bill. What would have happened if it had not been passed? Would we have continued in a certain direction? Or would Madison be better off? UW-Madison has never felt it was improved by that, by the merger, in my opinion. I don't think they've felt that way. And they resisted, in some respects, really working together with the system as much as we would have all hoped for. I do remember, for example, that 25 years after the merger, they were going to have a celebration. 25-year anniversary, and Madison did not want to participate.
Really?
No. So they actually put it off, and 5 years later, they had a 30-year celebration of it. It was in Milwaukee, by the way, not Madison.
Yeah.
And very few Madison people were there. So, I mean, there were people on the Madison campus that never quite adjusted to the merger, but they were really the major opposition to it at that time. Mm. And even today, as you may know, if you read the newspapers, that they are now attempting to spin out of the merger and demerge and instead of go their own way, which tells you that obviously there's still people on the campus there that feel they could be better off as an independent, separate university system.
And in Governor Walker's budget proposal, $250 million would be cut to from the UW system. And I guess he's saying that money can also be saved if UW-Madison does separate. Can you explain all of this and maybe how those two facts are connected with each other? Because some people have a hard time.
Is that like pulling a rabbit out of a hat?
Something.
Yeah. I think the going along with this idea of becoming a public authority, which is kind of a quasi way of saying private but not quite, they would have their own set of regents, majority of which, by the way, 21 regents, and I think 11 would be appointed by the governor. They would be able to set their own tuition. So this $250 million cut, roughly half of that is supposed to come out of UW-Madison's budget. So they're going to be, at least in a sense initially, going to lose some money from the state. It isn't going to happen all at once, however. I think they feel that they would be, with greater degree of flexibility and autonomy, they would be able to set their own tuition, and they'd be able to do things by themselves, and they feel in a little more efficient or effective manner. Right now, there's a lot of rules that the state has. For example, if you want to build a building, you've got to get the building. It can be underfunded by one alum, but yet you still have to go through the bureaucratic process of getting it approved through the state, where they feel they could be more efficient and effective if they were on their own. They wouldn't have to do that. The rules would change, frankly. But I think primarily you're talking about money that would come from tuition. It's hard to imagine that UW-Madison's tuition would not rise dramatically in a demerged university.
Many of the other campus leaders want to have that same flexibility. And I don't think the governor's budget provides for that, except the possibility of talking about it for Milwaukee. Of course, the campuses would like to have more flexibility in managing their affairs than they have now. That's one of the problems. In fact, I've been hearing about conversations for 10, 15 years now about some of these schools, particularly Madison, going private, not only getting out of the system, but operating as a private institution. Now, I don't think any officials ever, I'm not aware that that's been discussed at an official level, but you keep hearing rumors about that from time to time. So, I think all of the campuses would like, if Madison's going to get flexibility, if Madison and Milwaukee are going to get flexibility, then I think a good question is, why shouldn't the other campuses have the same opportunity to manage their affairs more locally than depending on system administration?
My understanding is that most university systems and major universities in America have far more flexibility rules than we do. Our budgets are tightly controlled. Our tuition is tightly controlled. Number of personnel is tightly controlled at the top level, the legislature and the governor, basically. Whereas many other Big Ten schools, for example, don't have that type of control.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of administrators at the upper levels kind of chafe at this idea that we're being micromanaged. I hear that often by politicians and by people in Madison.
Yeah.
And other schools around the country don't have that same kind of limitation.
Some people are saying that Governor Walker's proposal to separate UW-Madison from the rest of the system is purely political. Do either of you have thoughts on that?
The one thing I hear, and these are rumors, by the way, don't quote me for these things. I'm hearing these from other people, so I'm passing on rumors. One of those is that the regents have all been appointed by Governor Doyle. I believe they have a 7-year term anyway. So it would take a substantial amount of time for Governor Walker to appoint enough new regents, because it's all staggered, to actually gain control of the region, so a majority of his appointments would be able to run the university, if you want to call it that. If you, in fact, demerged and you had Madison campus, he would immediately be able to say he controls the biggest campus in the system. That's the politics of it, from what I've been hearing anyway. Whether that's true or not, I'm not too sure. But I think maybe I'm reading more into this than I need to, but I think the governor has got a very fiscally frugal budget. He is biting the bullet in a manner which governors have been ducking, frankly, for, I'll say, decades in Wisconsin. And he is basically saying we're going to put our financial house in order. To do that without raising taxes, which, of course, is anathema for a Republican, you have to really cut a lot of things. You have to really be extremely fiscally sound and frugal. So I think part of his argument here is it's going to save the state money. If Madison goes its own way, I think he sees cost saving down the road that the state will save millions of dollars.
Well, certainly the result of what is being proposed here is going to be much increased student tuition.
For all the campuses or just UW-Madison?
Well, I think all campuses. Each year for so long now, the state has provided fewer and fewer dollars in support of the students. Significant changes have taken place. The only alternative that the campuses have is to raise tuition. They're already doing it. La Crosse is doing it.
There's another option, Carl. You could let quality decline.
I keep hearing the members of the Board of Regents say quality is the first priority.
Well, I'm being facetious, of course. But you cannot maintain quality with less and less resources. You can do more with less for a short period of time, but you don't see a lot of money being wasted around here, frankly. And I do think there are people who are concerned about the quality of the universities as the budgets have gotten tighter and tighter.
If this is to go through, what does that mean for UW-La Crosse? And what could this mean for UW-Madison and maybe some of the other schools?
Carl mentioned one thing already, which I think is fairly clear, and that has to do with tuition. It's wonderful to have low tuition. It's great for access, keeping down costs, allowing students to not build up debt and things of that sort. But the reality is, at some point, quality is affected by it. And I think the reality is that to move our tuition to a level which is competitive with other schools would mean, in other words, maintain our competitive level, would mean a tuition increase. I can't tell you how much that would be, but I think it's widely acknowledged that that's the only alternative we really have. By the way, when I came to UW-La Crosse, 75% of the cost of the education came from the state. That now is under 50%. I think it's probably maybe around 45%. So now tuition has made up a greater and greater share of the budget of UW and what UW-La Crosse, and I think that would be expected to continue. In Madison, I don't have the chart in front of me, but I saw a pie chart that showed the state support, and it has been dwindling down there as well. And the amount I know is under 25%, and I think it's maybe even substantially below that. So they are relying less and less on state funds. And I think to make that up, they would probably have to raise tuition as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is different from today's discussion to separate the different schools from the system than the discussion that went on in the 60s and 70s to merge all the schools together?
Well, I think it's too early to tell.
Sure.
I'm not sure anything's changed today. It took a while for that earlier change, the merger to take place. It took several years before everything was set. One of the differences that I see so far is there was a lot more discussion leading up to merger than there has so far been to demerger.
If you look back at that era versus now, although I think the wisest thing, if you had an economist showing you the differences, I think it would be more clear. But I think the budget environment is substantially different than what it was then. As I said, for whatever reason, it seems like the budgets of the UW system have gotten tighter and tighter and tighter every 2 years. It seems like we don't seem to do much better.
UW-La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim and Vice Chancellor Emeritus Carl Wimberly. Governor Scott Walker's proposed budget considers new approaches to how the UW system operates. It's scheduled for debate in the state legislature in the weeks ahead. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroub, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.